You're listening to Radical Nourishment. My name is Natasha Monnathau. I'm an artist and narrative strategist with the Food Culture Collective. And today I'm joined by a crew of emerging audio artists.
I'm Nino McQuown.
I'm Shefali Patel.
I'm Dana Wedderburn.
I'm Alejandra Salazar.
These are the voices of our inaugural cohort of Ears in the Field. Ears in the Field is a fellowship that we convened at Food Culture Collective to uplift stories of sovereignty and self-determination found in moments big and small. So all season long on Radical Nourishment, the fellows and I are introducing you to some radically humane and creative voices working in various facets of food sovereignty. What do you have for us today, Ale?
So when I applied for this fellowship, I didn't imagine I'd be on the compost beat, but here I am, bringing you another piece about composting in New York City. So to differentiate, my last piece was all about education and learning about composting. This time around, I wanted to bring y'all a story about composting in action. So I lived in Brooklyn for years, and pretty much that entire time, my go-to spot for composting was a place called BK Rot. My apartment didn't have a backyard where I could organically allow food scraps to decompose, and the city didn't issue any curbside composting bins for my building. So once a week, on Sundays, my partner and I would walk our bags of compost down to the BK Rot Garden for their public drop-off. It was only a 10-12 minute walk, and I admit we fell off the wagon a bunch of times when the weather was too cold or too rainy to go outside, when we had weekend plans that overlapped with the drop-off window. There were some weeks where we ended up with several bags of compost in our freezer, and it was kind of gross. But our spot was always BK Rot. That said, I never knew exactly what went on there or how big the stakes were. Also, it feels like composting is kind of having a moment now. It's trendy. And overall, the folks I've spoken to all think it's a good thing. But composting really isn't so new.
I don't know if anyone has yet gotten to like fangirl at you about George Washington Carver, but allow me to be the first.
This is Nora Jossam, who's a co-director of BK Rot, and I want to share this short post-Civil War history lesson with you before we dive into the story.
So George Washington Carver was a big advocate for Black farmers who had a really systematically designed, difficult time getting, first of all, arable land, second of all, land that would actually, you know, yield a robust enough crop to survive. And also, this was in a time where chemical fertilizers were being sold at incredible prices, and so Black farmers like often couldn't afford fertilizer. So instead, George Washington Carver offered compost as a wonderful natural solution, which basically, if you're farming anything, you're going to have trimmings and scraps and non-edible pieces or whatever you're thinning out from your crop or whatever's left over once you've harvested. All of that material, then, he was arguing, this isn't waste that you need to pay someone to get rid of. This is material that you can use for your next crop. So it really is about land sovereignty, food sovereignty, and reframing that waste as something that is generative instead.
I love thinking about George Washington Carver as a composting forefather.
Totally. And humbly, I think that there are lots of spaces that are still trying to follow in his footsteps while adapting to the demands and pressing needs we see today. So on that note, let me take you to BK Rot. It's a Thursday morning at BK Rot, which means it's processing day. It probably sounds more intimidating than it is. Several times a week, usually in the early morning, workers meet at the BK Rot site to basically make compost, or rather, to process it. What you're hearing now is called a sifter. It sits in the center of BK Rot's small garden space, commanding attention. It's a large metal cylinder made out of an industrial-looking mesh, hooked up to a motor. It's tipped over on its side and filled up with rough, composted material, and it's spinning, round and round and round.
So basically, at the other end of the sifter, we load in all the like unsifted compost that's like ready to be sifted. And as it's in there, it basically gets tumbled down, it breaks down into like finely sifted compost, more or less, and that's what falls to the bottom of the sifter.
There's a short mound of freshly sifted compost sitting at the bottom of the machine. You can see more sprinkling out as this thing keeps spinning and spinning, looking like a light brown snowfall. Larger chunks of material are still stuck inside the mesh tube. They're too big to be filtered out. Small stones, twigs, wood chips, stray slivers of trash, they all tumble round and round in there, until some pieces start flying out the other end of the tube. There's a large bucket sitting there to catch the debris as it falls.
Everything else that like falls out the other end that's collected by either the bucket or a wheelbarrow, that's the overs we call them.
And that material gets reused for the next batch of compost. The BK Rot workers here have a well-choreographed groove going, shoveling brown matter between the sifter and the mounds of decomposing compost material sitting a few feet away. This is a playful, familiar dance to them. BK Rot was founded in 2013. It's New York City's first bike-powered food waste hauling and composting service. They offer food scrap pickup services for local businesses and residences, they provide resources for new and at-home composters, and they sell fresh compost. It's also mostly run by local youth of color.
So my name is Shaq, and I'm 21. When I originally got here, it was just like, oh, like help making compost, right? So that includes like processing, food scraps drop off, and like, of course, sifting. Should we wait for that?
Oh, yeah. BK Rot's composting center sits below the above ground M subway tracks that run down Myrtle Avenue. They share and tend to the space with a wildlife community garden called No Wastelands in the heart of Bushwick. The train loops around every 10 minutes or so, but Shaq doesn't seem to mind. They pull down a bandana they wear over their mouth as protection from stray sifter flyaways, and they smile brightly. It's just another day at work.
Well, for one thing, like, it's just fun. I'm also like an introvert, so this is my way to be like, hey, I'm outside, I've touched grass. So, you know, coming here 3 days a week or whatever it is, a little bit more sometimes, but that gives me a chance to just like be outdoors, get to know people, yada yada. Sifting due to compost is always something that I've enjoyed. Look, I will say, when you get a chance later, like the finished compost, it jiggles, and that's by far funny. Like, it just, I don't know why, but it's like so like soft and stuff, like it just jiggles when you squish it. I will also say, like, BK Rot, it's a good paying job as well, so that also helps, so I don't need to like worry about trying to find another job, because, you know, rent be expensive.
BK Rot's operation consists of site workers who process and sift the compost, a network of micro haulers who bike around the neighborhood to pick up food scraps, and even a youth leadership program for local students to learn the ropes. And like Shaq said, BK Rot's workers are paid in exchange for this labor. The starting rate for a micro hauler is $16 an hour, jumping up to $20 after 3 months. The pay keeps going up over time the longer workers are with BK Rot. It's not very common to get a regular paycheck for composting. A lot of these spaces are often heavily volunteer run. But that pay is a big deal for young people like Shaq. It grants them some financial stability in one of the most expensive cities on the planet. Today, Shaq lives in Queens with some friends and balances college courses in urban design and psychology. And he didn't really expect it at first, but his work at BK Rot complements his life pretty seamlessly now.
So technically, I'm from Guyana. I would definitely call that my community. But when I was like probably 10, I moved to Brooklyn and I went to school in Bushwick. When I was in high school, when I was like on my way off to college, one of my friends, they were like, there's this garden thing, because we know like you're looking for a job and stuff like that. So that's how I sort of like got interested in the idea, rather than being like, oh yeah, I want to pursue a career in this. Though I will say, low-key, it's looking that way right now.
I make my way further into the BK Rot site. I walk up to a wheelbarrow full of compost and a young woman with bright pink hair pulled back into twin braids. From far away, the shock of color looks like a flower in bloom.
My name is Leslie Luna, and I am 20 years old. I think recently I made 3 years working with BK Rot now.
Day to day, Leslie is kind of a jack of all trades for BK Rot.
Thursday mornings, we process, meaning that we do a combination of browns, which are usually wood chips, coffee, and we mix it in with our food scraps that we collect. I do a lot of admin work, which involves planning routes, optimizing them, making sure all our riders are getting to where they need to be. I'm a micro hauler myself, meaning that I do routes every Wednesday and Fridays. I go to different households within the borough, picking up food scraps, bringing them back to the site. Yeah, so I also live in Bushwick, and I would come by this garden, but I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't know what compost was or anything. And so over the summer, after I had graduated, my friend had sent me this application about BK Routes Youth Leader Program, and I signed up. It looked interesting. I've always wanted to, like, contribute to environmental justice, but I never knew how, like, physically. And I thought this was a great opportunity for me to actually be able to do something.
BK Rot became a place for Leslie to funnel a lot of her climate anxiety into community work and grassroots action. The organization linked her up with events and demonstrations, including the time she shuttled up for a climate justice rally at the state capitol. She attended retreats and trainings and learned more about the environmental justice movement. And then she'd bring it all back here, to her home in Bushwick.
Earlier this year, we went to like a job fair for high schoolers, and there was like a bunch of people signing up and teachers being like, oh, like we want to bring our kids here to learn compost. So I feel like education is a big one for me, because when I was in high school, I didn't know about compost. I wasn't taught stuff like this. So now that we're being able to teach kids, it's like, it's a really good feeling. It's just overall really nice experience.
BK Rot was an idea that I got inspiration from in a couple of ways.
This is Sandy Nurse. Since 2021, she's represented District 37 on the New York City Council, which covers a large swath of Bushwick and other neighborhoods in North Brooklyn. She's also a community organizer and the founder of BK Rot.
It was at a time when I was feeling there didn't really seem to be the political will and or really any accountability for finding ways to transition from fossil fuels, to build practices in daily life at the block level, at the neighborhood level. I was feeling just a little bit cynical, I would say a lot cynical. And I just felt like I wanted to get out of the funk of that cynicism and almost like nihilism by trying to find ways like to take action. What can we do now with the time we have?
Back in 2012, Sandy was earning a living as a delivery worker, shuttling food and other items by bike around the city. It occurred to her that this setup could be adapted for other things.
Maybe this could be a little hustle, like maybe I could have people pay me and I'll come collect their food waste as an idea. And I started to like develop it and write it out and think through the logistics.
Some composting resources did exist in Bushwick at the time, but Sandy remembers that it was kind of sporadic. It was mostly volunteer-run work in local community gardens, and these composting sites were subject to everything from lack of funding to the seasons. They just didn't have the consistency required of a regular neighborhood-wide compost collection program.
The goal was to fill a need. Like, we don't have an option. We don't have access to regular composting or food scrap drop-off. And I felt at the time that we need to be moving towards appreciating this type of labor as earth-saving work, work that's going to sustain us. And it should be asserted value. It should be seen as work, and we should pay people to do it. And then, you know, in this neighborhood, we are primarily a working class community of color, immigrant community, Latino and Black, and folks from the Caribbean diaspora and Central American diaspora and South Asian. And so we are the type of disadvantaged community that has experienced environmental racism, and our young people particularly will be deeply impacted by the climate crisis. Let's create an opportunity for them to get paid to do what we see as critical community work, which is composting.
Meanwhile, for years, the city lacked a presence in this area.
The year we launched was the year that the city's food scrap collection residential program was being piloted. And at the time in 2013, they were like, oh, well, by the end of the year, like they're going to be rolling this out and picking up in Bushwick. Like this won't be a viable project. And by the end of this year, the city will have a curbside food scrap pickup for every single New Yorker. And they piloted this program in Windsor Terrace. So like the whitest community, the most affluent, you know, like comfortable upper middle class or upper class community. And to this day, still is not in Bushwick. We still do not have a curbside program in Bushwick. So, you know, there was definitely a lot of doubt and skepticism on whether or not we should take on this project, because the idea was that the city would do it, which at the time we were like, great, if the city does it, that's wonderful, but they're not. And we don't know when it's coming. And what if they don't? And here we are, we have something ready to go.
New York City has committed to make compost a priority for years, but Sandy says it's been a slow process. It's a big expense to establish a giant city-sized composting operation. For a while, there was a lot of emphasis on yard waste, like composting dead leaves and branches, instead of food waste. There have been some useful efforts to educate the public, but that also takes time. And then, of course, there was COVID-19. An unprecedented global pandemic that required a significant reallocation of resources. This year, City Council passed the Zero Waste Act. It was a huge step for New York. The bill actually codifies mandatory residential curbside food scrap pickup, along with other actions to move the city towards a greener future. And Sandy co-sponsored this legislation, drawing on her years of work in this space.
We came up with a solution and we tried to fill a need. We saw that we were never going to be able to scale to the level of need. And so we said, this has to be a systemic thing. This is something that we need to be building into our city as like a institution, and to then now be in the position to pass what is going to be the most aggressive zero waste package of bills and legislation of any municipality in the country. Like, it feels really like we've done the thing. And I believe that BK Raw definitely played a role in that.
Potential institutional change is on the horizon, but there's still work to be done in this moment. BK Raw is encouraging folks to continue to take action in their own neighborhoods, however they can, because our collective effort leads to our collective nourishment.
I was happy and proud of myself for being able to do something for my community, and also just being able to teach kids that come in every summer, teach my family about what I do, suggest and encourage composting and bringing food scraps, and now everyone in my family does it. I feel like it has become, I guess, popular, and now we have more people in our community knowing what we do and not just like walking by.
I'll see a lot of people that I've met years ago and they'll be like, hey, my garden's doing well. And it's always like a fun little story to hear. Oh yeah, you know, I planted these like a few years ago. They bloomed really well and like they come back again for the compost and stuff like that. So that community center of it, I think, is really swell. We're an open garden a lot of times. If you see us inside, feel free to like stop in and be like, hey, can we just like chill in here for a bit? So always welcome inside.
Slow down and peek through the garden doors. Step inside. Breathe in and learn. Bring your hands, your mind, and your spirit to this work. I think this is a lesson I take from BK Rot.
Radical Nourishment is a project from Food Culture Collective and Heal Food Alliance. At Food Culture Collective, we're transforming the story of food to help us collectively reorient to food as life source, compost legacies of harm, and grow a culture of care. Heal Food Alliance is a national multi-sector, multi-racial coalition building collective power to transform our food and farm systems. Radical Nourishment is produced by our Ears in the Field fellows, as well as Zach Rosen and me, Natasha Monnadau. It's edited by Zach Rosen. To learn more about today's story, visit the links in our show notes.